Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is great to be back with you again this morning. Anybody excited for Pastor Ellis to be coming back? All right. I understand, Ellis, if you're watching this one, because this one is a little key, you know what I mean? So they did give you a hand clap this time. Last week, they didn't give you a hand clap, but this time, they did. So just know they're excited for you to come back. So I'm talking to Ellis right now, because he's probably sneaking and watching. Couple of things before we jump into our passage this morning. The first one is super shout out and thank you for welcoming and receiving our family as we've been here during this time with you. It's been a huge honor to just be a part of this process while Pastor Ellis is out. Man, I know. It's sad. It's okay. But this isn't a goodbye speech. I'm just talking, okay? So thank you for that. Thank you for the well wishes, the kindness, the reception of me, my voice, my style. Because me and Pastor Ellis are a little different, a little bit. So I appreciate that. Second, if you have gotten anything out of these messages over the last 10 weeks, I think it is, I compiled all my notes. I cleaned them up, though, because y'all would probably be like, what the heck? So I cleaned them up. You've got most of the points, and we put them in a PDF document. I think they'll be on the app. Okay, so it's a document, all of that stuff. So if that was helpful to you, huge thing. Third thing I would ask is right now I'm in the process of launching a new ministry called Maroon House. And this comes from my heart as a church planter in the urban context. And so if you would, just pray, consider supporting us as we kind of launch this new ministry together. What I essentially am doing is what I wish was done for me when I came to plant a church, is provide coaching, care, and community to Black and brown inner city church planters. And so the 1 week I wasn't here, maybe week three, I was hosting 15 church planters in Charleston for a retreat. And a lot of times we have to translate, we have to create, we have to do a lot of things to get these churches up and going, to even experience what you're experiencing now. And so I'm just like, man, we need more of those leaders. They need support, they need care. And so we're creating a space for that. And so if you're interested, please consider supporting us. So the website, if you want to check it out, is bemaroon.com. Just like the color, maroon. So bemaroon. All right, and that's it. So in the words of the great philosopher, Aubrey Graham, AKA Drake, we started from the bottom and now we're here, okay? So we're in James chapter 5 and we're gonna end out the book. And hopefully this has been an encouraging journey for you. Hopefully, I know for me, it has been very challenging and hard, like James, bruh. Do you have to I know you're Jesus' brother and all that, but good grief, you don't have to talk so harshly to me. And so hopefully this has been an encouraging journey. Now, as we've gone through these books and these chapters and these messages, some of these words have been daggers. They've been hard. And you feel like, man, okay, James, I understand. You're raising the bar. You live with Jesus. It's okay for you to have high standards. We didn't get to experience Jesus like you did, okay? We don't see all of that. And so sometimes this stuff is really hard that we're experiencing. And James didn't give a lot of tools. I don't know if you noticed. He didn't give a lot of tools. Just do this. Just stop doing that. Just get some wisdom. Watch your mouth. And you're like, okay, all right, gosh. Where's the love? Where's the grace? And there hasn't been a lot. And if you've ever felt that sense of there's a gap between my words and my deeds, and in that gap is a lot of guilt, there's a lot of shame, there's a lot of disappointment with ourselves and how we, I don't know if I can walk this thing out. This seems like a lot. And I can't tell you the amount of times I've met with someone considering or wrestling with their faith because it feels impossible. It feels like there's no possible way I can live up to these standards. Ten Commandments, I struggle with. I can't get through one day without breaking a number of commandments. And then you made it about what's inside. Like, I don't even have to say anything, and I've already messed up just by what I'm thinking. Here's what I want to tell you today, and I think this is why James ends the way he does. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key to bridging the gap between our words and our actions. It's the key. It's not willpower. It's not grit. It's not tenacity. It's not even guilt or shame. I feel so guilty. I feel so condemned. Therefore, if you're in Christ, there is no condemnation. So you shouldn't use guilt as fuel to like, all right, I'm feeling really bad, so I might need to go back to No. I might need to pray. No. That's not it. Prayer is the key, though. It's the key that unlocks and helps us to bridge that gap. I don't care how big or how small the gap is that you perceive or you experience. If you've walked with Christ for any number of time, we couldn't get through 3 verses in James before you are hit with a challenge that can feel insurmountable. As a pastor, as a preacher, as a Christian, when you read James chapter 1, verse 2, I already feel like I'm at a loss. Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. Wait. Stop right there. We don't have to go no further. I don't know what your trials are like, but they're not fun for me. My trials are not fun. Sick, marriage, relational, financial, circumstantial, economic, housing, friendships. I don't know about you. This stuff is not easy. And you're telling me the first thing out the gate, hey, good to see you guys. Here's what I need you to do. When you're going through hell, I want you to start celebrating and dancing. Okay? We all on the same page? Now let's move on. Whoa, there is no moving on. And many of you have gone through experiences in your life that this right there feels impossible. I can't consider a great joy. You know I was abused. How am I supposed to look back on that situation? You know I was abandoned. You know I was betrayed. You know I was all the things. But here's the deal. Prayer is the key. It don't matter what the circumstance is. Prayer is the key to bridging the gap. And as we walk through the book, as you walk back through the book of James, favoritism, you struggle to show love to people different ethnicities, different backgrounds, economic status, people, different education levels, all this kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't trust. Prayer's the key to closing that gap that feels impossible. Well, what about, man? I don't know how to take all this stuff I know. Like, God is this, and he said this, and it feels impossible to walk out all these doctrines and principles and all this stuff. It's so confusing. I don't know how to live right for Christ. What? Prayer is the key. Man, I don't know how to, man, you know, if my back is against the wall and that person said the right thing to me and it hits this trigger, they have to hear what I have to say. Prayer is the key to controlling an untamable tongue. Man, Charlie, I don't know. I've got so many decisions to make. I've got so many things and pressures and expectations. I don't know. There's so many voices. I listen to this podcast, and I listen to this preacher, and I read this book. I talk to these people, and everybody's saying something different. And I need you to understand wisdom that you need. How do I access it? Prayer is the key. So when you walk back through the book, I want you to walk back through the book of James with the end of chapter 5 from the beginning. And go, oh, this is how I make it work. Because many of you have tried to do this in your own strength. Man, you know, I tried to really be nice to people this week when they disrespected me. And I just could not do it. You're trying to do it on your own strength. And you're not leveraging the one thing that you have that unlocks so many of the promises of God. It's one thing. It's prayer. That's how James ends his book. So let's look. Let's look at verse 13 to 16 real quick. Very interesting what James has to say. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. All right, James. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises, which is a form of prayer. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they are to do what? Pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you can be healed. First thing I want you to see is this, right here. Bring God close. Bring him close. When we go through difficult times, we go like this. You step back, God, because this isn't how I wanted it to go. Step back, because I trusted you. I sang great is your faithfulness. I sang that you were a fortress. But right now, my house of my life feels like it's on fire. So you must have dropped the ball. So I need you to step back. And James goes, no, it's counterintuitive. Bring him in closer. Call on him. Talk to him. Reach out to him, because we oftentimes flip the switch around where we are in reality. You know where we are? We're in a post-Genesis 3 world. In Genesis 1, we're not supposed to experience the pains that we go through. We're not designed for this. We weren't supposed to suffer like this. We weren't supposed to go through the circumstances you've gone through. But post Genesis 3, this is a sinful, broken, violent, just nasty and dark world that we're living in. And here we have this promise that there will be one who will reconcile all things to himself. So we're in the process of him doing that cleanup mission, that rescue mission. So we go, well, I want to feel the joy of a Genesis 1 and 2 world, but we're in the reality of a Genesis 3 world. And so we put the blame and the onus on God as if he's the one that caused all of this. Now, is he sovereign? Yes. Is he in control? Yes. Is he good? Yes. So it's just confusing sometimes, but I refuse to allow the circumstances. The enemy wants nothing more than to you to go, no, you stay away from me because this isn't going my way. And then he flips the switch. He goes, man, and then when things are going great, don't forget who gave you the gift. So some of us go, all right, I made it. I'm on the mountaintop. I'm experiencing all the things I've ever wanted. And then we get very forgetful. Who sustained? Who cared? Who provided? Every great, perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. So in my sinful estate, in my just carelessness, in my lack of wisdom, in my foolishness, in my rebellion, he was still good, kind, faithful. So now when I'm experiencing good, I forget. And oh, how easy it is to forget when we're on the mountaintop. So bring God close. You'll notice, how is God accessed? How do we get to him? How do we connect with him? That's through prayer. If you're suffering, Jesus tells you to pray. If you're cheerful, proclaim to as you pray, as you praise him. If you're sick and in need of prayer, call somebody to pray on your behalf. Prayer is the focal point of how we access all these things that God is requiring of us. So some of you feel the full weight and responsibility of trying to mature in your faith, when really, Jesus is asking us, James is reminding us, yo, why don't you talk to him sometimes? He's got some stuff for you to help you on your journey. Matter of fact, he actually takes up residence in you and really wants to be there on the journey with you. But for some reason, you keep acting like he's not there until it's a crisis. And I get this. Why? We're Americans. We're Western. And even if you're not American, you're being Westernized the longer you stay here. You have to be an individual. You have to be self-reliant. You cannot rely on anybody else. And we'll apply that to God too. My life is private. This is an individualized culture or atomized culture. We're all individuals, a culture. This is a quite different from the culture that James is writing from. People had multiple layers of generations living in community together, extended family living all around. That's different than what we are now. We don't even have nuclear families. We're so fractured and fragmented. So this idea that, okay, I'm supposed to bring him close when I don't even like humans being that close. That can be strange and confronting. And then he gives you a practical way in which we make ourselves more vulnerable. He goes, okay, some of your illness, some of your pain, some of your suffering, some of your trauma, some of your drama is because you will not verbalize to someone else what the heck is going on inside. So we suffer longer. So he says, part of your healing is bringing people in close too. Confess your sins to one another. Why? So that we can bring God close and God can bring healing. So I love, man, seeing Gallery, as I've watched you over the several weeks, there's been this sense of care and family. As we celebrate the life of Baby Green, there's care, there's family, there's this kind of connective tissue that draws you together in this unique way. That's not every church is like that. It's not every experience is like that. Many of us have lived and been a part of churches where you just go come in and leave and nobody sees you, nobody knows you. And it can be uncomfortable for people who want to be in the shadows. But don't lose that essence of bringing each other close, but keeping God as the hub that we bring close. Let's not use prayer as a last resort. Let's make it our first priority. Yo, let's bring God close right now, right? Second thing he does in this passage, we get to verse 16, the second half of verse 16. And that is this, unleash the power of prayer. So don't just apply it to my needs, your needs, our needs, because we're in this together. He says, no, unleash the doggone power of prayer. Why? Verse 16b, right? The prayer of a righteous person, listen to this. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. So it's time. Bring that power and use it to disassociate it, disconnect it from some timid and docile thing. Unleash the power of the prayer that you have. Not everybody has the ear of God. I know everybody talks about we're all sons and daughters of God. We are not. Not everybody does have access to the Father like we do. Because we've been covered in the blood of Christ, I've got access to the throne of grace. Not an enemy. I'm a friend. You're a friend. Therefore, he goes, man, I got my ear tuned to them. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is sitting there. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father like, okay, he doesn't even know what to say. I'm going to pray on his behalf to get the thing that he needs, even though he doesn't know that's what he needs. So he goes, okay, now if we've got that kind of power, why wouldn't you leverage it on behalf of others? He uses an interesting example of the power of prayer. And he tells us to think about Elijah. I told y'all last week, I'm not feeling these examples, James. Like, I know you only had the Old Testament and all of that, but bro, you could have used David and Goliath or something. You could have used some other like epic thing. You used Elijah. And I like this one a little bit better. And he goes forward to say, Elijah, before you dismiss what we're about to read about, he addresses an objection. You see what James said? Elijah was a human being as we are. Doggone, that's good. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to be reminded that this isn't mythology that I'm reading. That the same prayers that he prayed, the same access to God that he had, the same influence and power that he was able to access and leverage on behalf of his people, he was human like me. So he was human like me. He had the same fears, doubts, questions, but he also leaned into the uncertainty. So Elijah was human like us. James wants us to think and remember, no, these aren't special. They don't have special powers like they're Avengers. They're like us. And he says, man, he prayed and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Now, all of us, I don't know about you, that's crazy. That is crazy. Because if I could have accelerated winter, maybe I should have. Maybe we should have been at chapter 5 a few weeks ago when I was just like, oh my gosh, just Lord, take me now because I can't take winter any longer. I could have been like, no, you know what I mean? Spring, today. Now, we all know there was a mission, there was a plan. He had an assignment that he had to accomplish. But God answered his prayer. So we need to be reminded that God answers our prayers. He listens. He cares. He's invested. Didn't rain on the land for 3 years because of sin in the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. Unleash the power of prayer in the lives of those around you for the good of those that live in our community. Unleash that power. Do not hold it and keep it in your back pocket and say, it's just mine. No, share it with others. I mean, there's been studies that people are healed just by the act of prayer. Just by going to, just pray for somebody, reassure them, enter into their situation and say, can I just bring God close? They might not even believe in this God, but we have access. So leverage it. So I'm so grateful for that opportunity. So gallery, unleash it. Continue to be a people of prayer. Develop a heart for prayer. Deepen your level of prayer. And I'm not talking about 3 hours a day. If that's you, do you, boo-boo. Cool. But I am a huge advocate for breath prayer. When you're on the move and you go through circumstances, I don't spend 10 hours. I don't spend, but doggone, when I'm in my car and I'm in between times, my mom taught me this in her subtle way. Now, she was very Pentecostal, saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, not the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so she was all that, and she spoke in tongues quite a bit. And so there would be times we were riding in the car together, and she'd break out and speaking in tongues. And you're just like, okay, are we good? Or like, or do we need, you know, do I need to take over? Are we all right? But what I learned was there would be these moments where she would remember a promise of God. She would remember a circumstance or a situation, and she immediately would just say a little prayer. Oh, for centuries, Christians have practiced breath prayer. And many of us don't pray because we feel like, well, I got to set aside 20 minutes, and then I got to be in my room, and then I got to kneel down. My knees are kind of bad. And then I don't know where to go to, like, in the Bible to read. And then I got to have the music right. No, 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 no. As you pray, as you walk, as you go about your life, just whisper to him. He's right there. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are closer than your next breath. So you don't have to have some articulate library and some deep theological resource to draw from. He just wants to hear from you. Listen, Jesus, right now, you see what's going on in there. And they keep pushing me. I don't know how much longer I got, okay? So can we work this out? All right, cool. You keep moving. Now, will it look like you're talking to yourself sometimes? Yes. Are you bringing God close? Yes. Does he need to be there close with you most of the time? Absolutely. Last thing I'll say is this, this is our third point, is this. One of the reasons why we don't bring God close, one of the reasons why we will go through a book like the book of James, see the standards, and feel like these requirements are burdens on us, are because we lack faith. It's not possible. And we might not say that, but we think it, and we do it by our actions. I'm not leaning into it. I'm not trying to understand it, because I've heard everything I've needed to hear. And it's an immediate no. There's no possible way humans can live like that. And in our culture, you get a license to do whatever. I don't have to stay faithful. I don't have to tell the truth. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. There's no possible way a man can stay faithful to a woman. Why do we have to do that? These restrictions, these barriers, these burdens. You don't have to live like that. And then, and so it makes sense, because in myself, there's no way. But, if you increase your faith a little bit, oh, okay. Why? Because prayer is the key to me accessing all the wisdom, all the fruit of the Spirit, leaning into these patterns, habits, and rhythms, this new mindset I have that, yes, I'm under fire, but God is doing something great. How do I get to that? I got to pray my way through it. But the only way I get to it is if I increase my faith. I love the honesty of the disciples. Lord, we believe. Help my unbelief, though. I believe you. Like, I'm with you 100%. But back here, there's still a voice that says, I don't know. So I respect Peter. He stepped off the boat. He took a risk. Then he got out there and was like, whoa, this is a bit much. I go, okay, yeah, that makes sense. You started sinking. I would have started sinking too. I don't know if I would have gotten out of the boat. But Lord, increase our faith. And that's the reason why we don't pray. It's the reason why we don't have a vibrant prayer life. It stops us. There's these obstacles. There's this resistance that prevents us from the life that God wants us to have. There are so many possibilities. There are so many things that God has given us, but we stop short because we go, I don't think it'll happen. You know where I live? You have to be a realist to live in Baltimore. You just got to be honest. Listen, this is just the way it is. If we apply some of the issues that we experience on a weekly, daily basis in our city, and we just like cut, copy, paste, and put them in another community, there would be a national firestorm of like, what the heck are you people dealing with? Why is it like this? One is, just take one of our issues and take it somewhere else. People are like, what? No, there's no way. I love telling Floridians this stuff. No, you know what? Florida's crazy too, so that might not be a good example. So I'm gonna move on from that one. But what it requires for us to build that kind of vibrant prayer life is to take a risk, and faith is a risk. I'm going to trust you in spite of my instincts, in spite of my intuition, in spite of my gut. We don't pray because we think we're independent. Remember last week, a couple weeks ago, we talked about, man, we don't do this and we don't make plans independent of God. We're working in concert with him. We involve him. We bring him close. But that doesn't mean we're not, so we know I'm not independent. I'm reliant on somebody, on something. Man, my salvation, my life is not my own. My life isn't mine. I can't just do what I want. I'm in concert. I'm in relationship. And we also don't pray because we just lack faith. It's almost like we know too much. We just know too much. One thing I admire about children was they have a childlike faith. One thing I admire about children, they just think their parents can do everything that they want them to do. Yep, we want to do this. We want to go here. We want to go there. We want to eat this. We want to go here. We want to go there. And they don't stop asking until they wear you down. But now that we're older, now that we're more seasoned, now that we're more educated, now that we're more experienced, no, I know I can't ask for that because I've seen the budget. And I know how this person operates and their personality and da-da-da-da-da. So now you think you know God better than you know that he knows himself. So your faith is at your level versus what he can actually provide. Faith requires taking a risk. And it requires us to ask. That's a prayer that you can pray. God, increase my faith. I don't know if you remember in James chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, it said this. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. And I would be offended. I would be deeply offended if my son walked up to me and said, Dad, I would like some ice cream. But I know you ain't got no ice cream. And you don't really like giving us ice cream. So I'm not even really going to ask for the ice cream. What? I take that as a challenge. Oh, we ain't got no ice cream? Man. I'm glad they're not in here because they would probably use that tactic on me, right? But for us, that's what God wants of us. You created everything. Why can't you turn this situation around? You're the great physician. Why can't you heal? You own everything. Why can't you provide? Oh, I can't provide? You know who you're talking to? I created everything. Come on, let's do it. But you will never know because faith is required, you taking a risk. One of the biggest risks, let me put you up on game. One of the biggest risks is verse 19 and 20. Talking to a friend who's about to turn their back on the faith and asking them, take one more chance. For a personal situation, we can take a risk. Putting ourselves out there with somebody else, scary. Seeing a friend, what does he say? My brothers and sisters, how is it that we go from prayer up here, Elijah, no rain, 3 years. If they're sick, oil, just lay hands, confess your sins. Let's just pray. Yes, we're going to have this festival of prayer. Great. Verse 19, my brothers and sisters, if anybody among you strays from the truth, and someone turns him back. It takes a lot of faith to be the person going like this. Just wait a second. Why? Because you're making yourself vulnerable. And what if I'm wrong? What if they reject me? What if we break friendship? What if we break relationship? Listen to what he goes. He says this. If you're willing to take a huge risk of faith, and step out there to rescue a friend. Watch this. Let that person know, let that person who takes the risk that whoever turns a sinner from their error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Would you increase your faith enough to stand as a crossing guard to say, no, don't turn your back on Jesus. Don't give up the faith. Don't give up. Give it one more shot. If you're willing to do that, the promise for you is you'll turn them from the error of their ways, save their soul from death, and cover a multitude of sins. You know what that's like? God says his love covers over a multitude of sins. You're standing in the place where Jesus wants us to stand, doing things that only God says he has the capacity to do. We do that when we cover each other. Gallery, listen to this. Word on the street about your church is you have been a hospital and a resting place for people wrestling with their faith. Continue to be a people who will say, hey, give it one more shot though. Continue to be a place where they're welcome to have their questions, their doubts, their fears, their anger, their resentment, but say, hey, can we bring God a little bit closer? Because I got a little bit more faith than you do right now, so I'll let you borrow some, okay? And I'm going to unleash this prayer. I'm going to unleash this faith. I'm going to unleash this power that I got. You might not have it. And let's see what happens together. So that's my prayer for you, okay? That you would be a place of prayer. The gallery would be a place where people know that God will be drawn in close, because when we draw near to God, what does he do? He draws near to us. And may that promise resonate with all of us. Ben can come back up. I'm going to pray for us real quick. And we have a couple ways that we can respond in this message. The first way we can respond to a message like this is this. We have the option to do communion together. Communion is a physical prayer. I don't know if you know that. By us doing this act, we're remembering Christ and his sacrifice, and we're honoring him for what he's done. It's giving celebration, it's giving thanks. It's causing a lot of different emotions as we experience the blood, the wine that represents the blood and his body that was broken for us, and all the implications that come from his sacrifice on the cross. So it's a prayer, okay? It's bringing God close, and we're experiencing it with our senses. But for some of you, you haven't said a word to the Father in a long time, and you might not even know what to say. So we'll have people in the back, in the corners back there, that you'll let them talk on your behalf. And what's so dope is that we have Jesus, who's at the right hand of the Father. You might not know what to say to God. He knows what you want and wish you could say, and he will say it to the Father on your behalf. So you have the opportunity to respond in prayer. So those are our two ways that we can respond today. Thank you so much for the privilege of serving you over the last several weeks. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, I am overwhelmed by your grace towards us. The very fact that you would speak in our groans and in our prayer, in our tension, and in our headaches, in our sleepless nights, and our loneliness, or in our great joys and in our praise, Lord, you speak on our behalf. Lord, I pray that you would drive down deep the principle and the truth that prayer is the key for us to close the gap between our words and our deeds. Lord, may we remove ourselves, remove those lies that we have to figure this out on our own. We don't. We cannot. But you've given us this great thing called prayer, that we get access to you. We communicate back and forth, and you deposit things within us. Lord, help us to use this key. For some of us, that key is long lost, in a drawer somewhere, in a box somewhere, hidden. We don't know where it is. But Lord, I pray that we would just go find it and use it to unlock all the access we have to you. And Lord, I pray for those of us who have faith that you would increase it. Increase our faith. We don't want to be your sons and daughters called by your name, who you sacrificed for, but we live our lives with our head hung down, lacking confidence, as if our Father is not good. Lord, I pray that we would lift up our eyes to see that our help doesn't come from the cavalry. Our help doesn't come from the government. Our help doesn't come from our job and friends and relationships. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So Lord, remind us, prayer is the key. And may we use it moment by moment. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only He can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.